hand shall always remain with him. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him. The wicked shall not humble him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him. My faithfulness and steadfast love shall be with him, and in my name his horn shall be exalted. I will set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. You shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. Forever I will keep my steadfast love for him, and my covenant with him will stand firm. I will establish his line forever, and his throne as long as the heavens endure. If his children forsake my law and do not walk according to my ordinances, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with scourges. But I will not remove from him my steadfast love or be false to my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. Once and for all I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His line shall continue forever, and his throne endure before me like the sun. It shall be established forever like the moon, an enduring witness in the skies. This is the word of God for the people of God. On November the 14th, 1940, the city of Coventry in England was devastated by bombs that were dropped by the German Luftwaffe. What included in that destruction was the Coventry Cathedral. A church had been in the location where it stood since 1095. Can you imagine? We get excited about our centennial celebrations. Think about coming up on your 850th anniversary. What was standing there in 1940 had been constructed in the early 14th and 15th century. It was a massive Gothic cathedral, one of the largest parishes that was in all of England. After the bombing, only the tower, the spire, the outer wall, and the bronze effigy and tomb of the cathedral's first bishop survived. Think about what that would do to your faith. What do you do when your very foundation is shaken? How do you deal with it when you believe in something, when things you count on, things you depend on, collapse? Today's psalm comes from just a portion of Psalm 89. Should read the whole thing because it's all important, but it's a lot of verses. So we just have these few. The title is God's Covenant with David. And the portion that we heard today speaks of David, how he'd been anointed by God, how God's hand had been with him, how he would crush all of his foes, how his throne would endure forever. It's a very typical example of what we call a royal psalm, an opportunity for the people of God to give thanks for their leaders, to celebrate God's provisions, God's security that come through that leadership. And yet, there's this hint that things are not all triumph and not all comfort. A few glimpses of a warning in the verses we have. If his children forsake my law and do not walk according to my ordinances, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression. Reminds me of that billboard, you may have seen it, don't make me come down there, signed God. But even with that note of accountability, the steadfast love, the faithfulness of God continues to be promised. I will not remove from him my steadfast love or be false to my faithfulness, God says. I will not violate my covenant, God says. Once and for all, I have sworn by my holiness. was not included in our portion for today was a very dramatic kind of shift in the tone. Even though the psalmist has been reminding himself and the people of God's promises and God's steadfastness and God's reliability, he's looking around him in his own life. He's looking around at the world, and he's just not seeing it. He's wondering what's happened to God's promises. He's accusing God of renouncing the covenant. He says God has laid his strongholds in ruins. Worst of all, the people of God have become the scorn of their neighbors. Their enemies are rejoicing, and the king has been covered in shame. Now, most Bible scholars attribute the situation that the psalmist is addressing here as the fall of the temple, the destruction of Jerusalem that happened in 587 BCE. So much of their faith was invested in this temple. The people of Israel felt that that was the construction had come about with God's power. Jerusalem, they saw it as the very seat of God, the place where God dwelled. That was the place they could be the closest to God here on earth. So what does it mean to have faith in light of the destruction of God's city, the captivity of God's people, the ineffectiveness of the kings? It's the kind of crisis I imagine that the people of Coventry must have felt as they witnessed their city, their cathedral, fall into ruin. The psalmist puts it very well. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Where is your steadfast love of old? Kind of says, you promised. How can this be? It's a cry for help for a person or people who believe God is faithful. They're coming from a place of faith. But who are in a position of pain, feeling like God hasn't kept God's promises. It's a position that can't imagine how God's reign could possibly be restored. All they see is what they've lost. So, how do you do it? How have you dealt in your own life with unfulfilled promises? What has been your approach when you face a time when it seems like your very foundations are crumbling? You know, many of the people we admire, who are lifted up as these great success stories, they've gone through some tough challenges in their lives. I found this blog post online by R.L. Adams called 48 Famous Failures. He talks about Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States, who shepherded our nation through its collapse in the face of civil war. At the age of 23, Lincoln lost his job and his first election. 3 years later, the love of his life died. 3 years after that, he lost another election. Then he lost two more before he finally won his first one, and he was elected to the House of Representatives. Then there's Colonel Sanders of Kentucky Fried Chicken fame. Colonel Sanders is famous for his chicken recipe, but he's also famous for numerous failures in his life, in his business. His father died when he was 5 years old, leaving only his mother to support him and two other young children in his family. At the age of 65, with just a $105 Social Security check to his name, he set out to sell his franchise chicken model to restaurants across the country. He was famously rejected by 1,009 restaurants before one agreed to the idea. Imagine 1,009 rejections. helping those take care of. The author of Harry Potter series, very tumultuous childhood. At the age of 17, she was rejected for admission to Oxford University. Following the birth of her daughter, she took her and fled from domestic abuse she was enduring in Portugal. They returned to Edinburgh, where she was living with her sister, when she and her daughter were living with her sister. She was diagnosed with clinical depression, very serious thoughts of suicide. In the midst of all of that, she finished Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. That manuscript was rejected by all 12 of the major publishing houses in England. I think I lost a job on that one. Finally, a very small literary house in London offered her the very small advance of 1,400 British pounds. Today, that would be equivalent to about $2,000. By 2004, Rowling had become the first author to become a billionaire through book writing, according to Forbes. Failures. At different points in their lives, these folks faced failure. I'm not just talking about a bump in the road. Devastation. So many reasons to give up. When we fail, we will fail, and we do fail. It makes us question everything. Right down to the heart of who we are and why we've been put here on earth. But this blogger kind of pokes us a little bit and says that those successful and famous people, even they, especially they perhaps, have endured failure. It seems like what the psalmist is trying to do is remind himself and the people of God he feels called to lead that while they may be experiencing failure, God's steadfast love, it doesn't fail. While the human constructions and edifices that may seem like they're crumbling, God's faithfulness endures. While we can't get a visual, God's promises remain secure and in place. And maybe that's part of our problem. Maybe we put our faith and our trust in these edifices as if they are God. Maybe we give ourselves over to human constructions and powers instead of keeping our focus and our center grounded in God. Where we go wrong is often in that disparity between God's will and those attempts we make to implement God's will concretely in how we live. Will I acknowledge God's will and live under God's claim and fundamental dependence on God? Or will I choose to go my own way? The same is true when we lay our trust and our hopes on human powers and authorities and institutions. Can't last. They seem to always fall short. They're human. So what do? We remember God's steadfast love. We remember God's faithfulness. We remember God's heart. We remember God does keep God's promises. Most of all, we remember the cross. We remember Jesus. We remember how he demonstrated that love comes sometimes in the form of a cross, something that seems very weak and powerless, is ultimately the greatest power in the world. And hopefully, that reminds us to continue on the path of love, even when we're not so sure it's getting us anywhere. Hopefully, that reminds us to make the choice for God in the face of all of these principalities and powers and things that battle for our attention. Hopefully, that reminds us to operate with the heart of God as our guide whenever we're trying to make any kind of decision about how we act and how we are in this world. On the morning after that horrendous night of November the 14th, 1940, when the people of Coventry, England were looking at the ruins of their city and of their cathedral on that very morning, the decision was taken, we're going to rebuild. They came to this decision not as an act of defiance, but a sign of faith, a sign of trust, a sign of hope, not just in the future of their community, but in the future of the world. And as that cathedral stone mason got to work, he found something. As he walked among those ruins, he noticed two of the charred medieval timbers had fallen in the shape of a cross. And at first he just kind of set them up in the ruins, but later they were placed on an altar that was made from that rubble. That sign of hope in the midst of the rubble became so important to the people of Coventry, they included the ruins in their design for their new cathedral. The ruins themselves remain hallowed ground, and when you look at the new modern cathedral next door, and if you've had the blessing to go to Coventry, which I have, you see one living cathedral, providing a witness of God's steadfast love and faithfulness. It's often the case in the life of faith that we can't see over the horizon to a place or a time or where life will be better. But God's promise is that the low moments aren't the only ones. This quote that's on the cover of the bulletin, there's various arguments about who it should be attributed to. John Lennon was one that was offered a lot. But it was also shared by Patel. Do any of you know the best exotic American Patel? Well, he's that long-suffering and failure-enduring hotel manager. And he says in the movie, everything will be all right in the end. If it's not right then, it's not yet the end. Perhaps that's the most important thing we can hold on to in the face of experiences where it might be difficult to find hope. Or maybe it's hard for us to believe God is real or at work. While we may give up on God or be tempted to give up on God, God never gives up on us. Let us pray. Holy God, you stand strong no matter what might be going on in our own lives, in our homes, in our work, in our family, in our community, in our church, in our nation, in our world. You stand strong. Help us to remember that and hold on to that and stand ourselves on that. You call us to be people who proclaim your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Help us to do that, knowing you are with us and you stand with us. In Jesus' name, amen.